Our study tonight is out of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4, 1 through 24. Deborah, God's servant who encouraged the man's role. When God created the first woman, he made her to be a helpmeet or a complement for the first man in Genesis 2, 20 to 23. Four women were prophetesses of the Lord whose ministries are recorded in Scripture. There are more prophetesses in Scripture, but their ministries are not recorded outside of these four. And their ministries involve specific relationships with men, revealing God's idea of a woman's being a man's proper helpmeet. So we view each prophetess and her ministry to learn God's lessons on a woman's godly role as a helpmeet. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Judges 4, verse 1, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned from Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kadesh of Naphtali and said unto him, Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for your honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, who was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent into the plain of Za'anim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host into Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. And again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man does come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail, or a net tent peg of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly to him, and smote the nail in his temples, and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come. And I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Okay, this is quite an interesting story. During the period of the judges, Israel cycled through periods of spiritual apostasy, followed by God's allowing Gentile oppressors to subjugate his people until they repented and called on the Lord for help, followed in turn by God's answering his people by sending them a deliverer. However, each such cycle came with an increased deterioration in God-established institutions, until at one point there was an absence of godly male leaders, and God had to use the woman to judge Israel. Deborah was a prophetess of the Lord who was married to a man named Lapidoth, and she judged Israel at the time because of a lack of spiritual male leadership. She dwelt under a palm tree in the Ephraim hill country between Ramah and Bethel, which is close to where Samuel had been, where the people of Israel came to her for judgment. Well, due to Israel's sin, God permitted the nation to come under the rule of Jabin, who's the king of Canaan. Jabin ruled from Hazor, which is 8.5 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Jabin's commander, Sisera, lived in Harosheth in the valley, which was west of Mount Tabor, where he could oppress the people of Israel in the lowland, where his chariots gave him military advantage over Israel. Mount Tabor rises up 1,300 feet. It's like a cone. Rises up in the the eastern, northeastern section of that valley. The valley actually is going to be the Valley of Armageddon, where that's going to occur. And the River Kishon runs to the south of that valley near Mount Carmel. And that's how God was going to destroy the Canaanites. Well, the people of Israel cried unto the Lord for deliverance from Jabin. And God led Deborah to summon Barak, the son of Abinoam, and Kadesh of the tribe of Naphtali, to gather Israel's troops to Mount Tabor, that rises 1,300 feet above the valley floor, where Israel's foot soldiers would have the advantage. And from there, they would come down the mountain and attack Sisera's iron chariots. Now, normally foot soldiers, if you're going to fight iron chariots, you just stay on the mountain, because then you have the advantage. But Deborah says, no, you start on the mountain, and then you rush down at them. So you're going to go on foot, and the enemy is going to be in the chariots. So it's going to take a lot of faith to run after chariots. It's like foot soldiers going after tanks, you know. You normally just don't do that. But anyway, God says, I'm going to give them to your hands. So God's plan was to have Barak's army lure Sisera's chariot army out toward them, where they would engage in combat beside the Kishon River, where God would deliver Sisera into Israel's hands. So God, through Moses, had told Israel not to fear facing an enemy chariot army, though Israel's men fought on foot, because the Lord was with them to give them victory if they trusted in him. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. It's interesting that back in the days of Joshua, when Israel was taking the land, Israel fought a chariot army not far from here. It actually was sort of northeast of there. And they defeated them soundly, but they were trusting the Lord by faith. This is a different situation. So these people need a little more of a shot in the arm. They don't have quite the faith that Joshua and his people had at that particular time. Well, Barak's faith was faltering, and he replied to Deborah that he would lead Israel's army into battle only if she, as Israel's judge, would go with him. Deborah answered that she would go with Barak, but that the honor of defeating the enemy, Commander Sisera, would go to Barak. Not go to Barak, it would go to a woman. So he was supposed to be a man that took the leadership and led. But he says, no, I'll go only if you go with me. So she says, okay, I'll go with you. But you're not going to get to destroy the commander. It's going to be a woman. And this was a rebuke to Barak, because he was supposed to be out there. And this tells us something about Deborah. And, of course, she was being led of the Lord. Deborah wasn't leading because she really wanted to be the leader. She was leading because there was an absence of male leadership around. And Israel would have been in worse straits if she wasn't, but she kept trying to get someone else who was a man to lead, and that was the will of God. So you've got to hand it to Deborah. She had the right attitude. Well, Deborah decided to go with Barak and Israel's army to Mount Tabor. Sisera was lured out to engage them in battle by the River Kishon. Deborah encouraged Barak to attack his Sisera, rushing down Mount Tabor, for the Lord would give him the victory. So Barak and his men to their credit, they charged down towards Sisera's army. According to Deborah's song in Judges 5:21, the Lord then sent a strong storm that flooded the stream Kishon and the valley, and of course what that would do, that would bog down Sisera's iron chariots from being mobile, and it would give Israel's foot soldiers the military advantage. So the Lord was working on their behalf. Sisera's soldiers were all slain, and Sisera fled from his chariot on foot for his life. Sisera entered the tent of Heber the Kenite, a friend of his, and Heber's wife Jael offered to hide Sisera under a mantle in the tent once he had drunk some milk that would make him sleepy. After Sisera had fallen asleep, Jael, as a Bedouin woman who was used to pitching tents, took a tent peg and hammered it through Sisera's temples. Apparently he was laying on his face, face down, and his head was turned sideways. So she took a tent peg, and it's fairly weak in the skull there, right where the temples, and wham, right through the head, and pinned his head right to the ground. So he died. I mean, when that happens, you got a great big old tent peg going through your temple, that'll do it. So she took him out. And so it's interesting, in the song of Deborah, she repeats several times that she took the tent peg and nailed it through, and where she nailed, there he lay. And so she repeated it two or three times. And when you do that in Hebrew, that emphasizes the deed. This is a tremendous deed that she did. And she was a woman. So here is a man who was put to death by a woman, that he was a commander. So it was to his shame in those days, as a patriarchal society. So when Barak, who was pursuing Sisera, came by Jael's tent, she showed him Sisera's body. So Deborah's prophecy was fulfilled as the woman Jael gained the honor of defeating the enemy commander for Barak's refusing to act as the leader that he was called to be. God then subdued Jabin, eventually causing the people of Israel to overcome and defeat him. See, in this battle, they defeated Sisera and his chariots. But Jabin, the king, was the one who had sent him, and Jabin was up in Hazor. And later they defeated Jabin up there. So when God raised up Deborah to judge Israel because of a lack of godly male leadership in Israel, she still sought to encourage the man Barak to trust the Lord and to lead Israel, but only with partial success. For Barak's refusal to trust the Lord to lead the army on his own, a woman in place of Barak was honored to slay Sisera. So a couple applications. If there is a lack of godly male leaders, God wants godly women to encourage men to be godly leaders. And that goes without saying. Ladies, you have a lot of influence. As ladies, you might not think so, but you have a lot of influence, and it can be a positive influence in regards to encouraging men to be leaders. And God wants that to occur. And then a message for the men. May we men of God trust the Lord to fulfill our callings to lead like God wants us to lead. You know, we shouldn't be out there saying, well, I'll do it if some lady comes and helps me. If you've been called of God to lead in a situation, lead. And I've had, every now and then I've had ladies talk to me, especially ladies who have unsaved husbands. And of course, the unsaved husbands can't lead them spiritually. But it's amazing that these ladies, every one of them have told me, when I submit to my husband like I do, like I'm supposed to, even though my husband does not know the Lord uses my husband in such a way that he goes to bat for me. It's amazing. I've seen this happen every single time when the ladies have, then they come back to me and they said, man, it really works. God knows how to work through our husbands. But if I encourage them, even if they're not saved, and I submit to them, God uses them. And it's a wonderful thing. So it's a very important, you know, God made men the way he made men. He made women the way he made women because he wanted them to act in their roles. And when we act in our roles as men, when we act in our roles as women, God blesses. It happens. So may God help us.